hymns that you want to know. We sing it often enough, we'll get it. It's a good hymn. It's a good hymn. All right. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 30, responsive by half the verse. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up.
And have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you.
And you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead.
You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing to the Lord, you servants of his.
Give thanks for the remembrance of Jesus.
For his wrath endures with the twinkling of an eye.
His favor for a lifetime.
Weeping may spend the night.
But joy comes in the morning.
While I feel secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me a song in the mountains.
Then you hid your face.
And I was filled with fear.
I cried, O Lord.
I pleaded the Lord, saying,
What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you for declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing.
You have brought my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing.
O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
This is a reading from the book of Revelation.
Also a revolution.
I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of thousands, singing with full voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing to the one who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
began to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off, far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew he was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
My mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Well, the resurrection stories, the ones that we're reading in successive weeks, are fascinating because they reveal something that we always sort of wonder about. What was Jesus like in the post-resurrection stories? And is there a clue in that to understand what awaits us? If he is the first fruits, then we're part of that equation. Now, last week, I asked you to think about, do you love me, right? And that gets asked this week in the reverse way, which is the way we normally think of it. Peter is asked by Jesus, do you love me? And you know, because you're all sort of Bible scholars in hiding, I know that's true. And you know that this is an attempt to reverse the denial that Jesus uttered earlier, right? I don't even know the man. No, Jesus says to him, all right, do you love me? And if so, there's the three times that it's asked, it has implications. If you do love Jesus, how do you treat other people? And what does that mean? And you can kind of play with that a lot. And many people, many sermons I've heard really focus in on the specifics of that question. I don't know. It does mean, though, that we treat each other in a different way if you love Jesus. But I'm going to concentrate this morning on the first part of that story. And it's a wonderful story, and it has its built-in humor, if you will. The disciples are in the boat. This fellow calls out, and it's a negative question. And it's a way sometimes I will ask a question if I want a certain response. Not, have you caught anything? But you haven't caught anything, have you? And if I was asked that question that way, I would think, well, this person probably figured out I didn't catch a darn thing. And that was the case. And so, I mean, the first part is Jesus, who is not a fisherman, asked these seasoned fishermen about their catch. You probably know this already, but everybody is an expert on whatever you do. I mean, they know more about doing what you have done all your life, right? And people come up to me all the time and tell me, well, Ernie, we know that you've been at this for 53 years or so, but we're going to show you where you're wrong. And we're going to set you straight. And, you know, if you've got sort of over that, you say, well, thank you very much. And you don't let it sort of bother you. But there is a little part of that, you think, who the heck? No, I don't know. That's what you think. You don't necessarily act that out. I know you're mature adults and all. So the other thing, though, that's going on is, and get this, I mean, it's really the reverse of anything that you would think. He recognizes that it's Jesus, and this is Peter. So what does he do? He's going to jump in the water, and at that point, he puts his clothes on. I mean, what's that? And I don't want you to try to imagine too much of that scene or anything, but it's humorous. It's meant to be humorous. It's meant to show our humanity in its most sort of bare form, and I mean that sort of literally. So he puts on his clothes. He then swims to Jesus. He couldn't wait for the others. And, I mean, the story is just so rich with, well, humanity, if you will. And there are a couple of things that I really want to observe about the story. First is this. We have to be open always to encounter Jesus wherever he appears to us. In the most unexpected ways and at the most unexpected times. Jesus calls us to be his, and we can easily miss that, and we often do. We often say, as a matter of fact, Lord, I think that you have something that you want me to do, to really be a minister of yours in the world. But no thanks, I'll decline the invitation today. Jesus calls us in very unexpected ways. The other thing to really, and I primarily want to focus in on this, is to know that God calls us into change in sometimes very subtle and sometimes very obvious ways. The thing that Jesus suggests, remember, was that I want you now to just cast your net. I know you didn't catch anything, but put the net down anyway. This is from the non-fisherman. Put your net down anyway, and if you don't mind me saying so, would you cast it on the other side? Have you ever fished? I mean, when somebody gives you sort of instructions on, well, you know, if you just moved 6 inches, you would really do really well. And that's kind of what Jesus, I mean, it's not a big boat. And so it's just moving a few feet. But try that. And there are great results that take place. It occurs to me that that's probably an important symbol of our lives. We have been, as a society, really messed up recently, haven't we? I mean, the last couple of years, and I hope I'm not telling you something that you didn't already know. But it's been quite a ride. And we are, as a parish, experiencing the same thing. A beloved rector, person that I admire, respect, learn from, has left. And the church, in its wisdom, has said, you know, we're not going to just send somebody there right away, as if they really do send. But we're going to see if we can't get one of these old timers to go in and just do the best that he can to hold things together. And maybe a little bit more than that. But we're in the middle, you see, of doing that as a parish. I'll almost guarantee you that there are people here who are involved in the same kind of radical upheaval in their own lives. And Peter instinctively did something about that right at the first. What did he do? He said, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go fishing. And why was he going to go fishing? Because that's the thing he knew. I mean, that's the thing that was comfortable to him, right? He didn't know how to go fish for people, but he sure knew something about fish. And in fact, in this instance, he goes out and they catch, did you pick it up? 153. Now, Bible commentaries, by the way, love to play with that number. I think I read somewhere that if you take 17, but it may be 13, I don't know, and add up all the numbers, you'd come up with 153. Does that satisfy you about that? I don't have a clue. I actually think that, and hold on to your seats because this is radical stuff, I think somebody actually believe it or not, counted them. And said, let's see, there's 153, all right. That's what I think was going on, but who knows? But it was in a marvelous deal. I think that's what we do when we're confronted with loss, is we go back to what we've always done. And it's not a bad short-term strategy. I mean, as a parish, that's the great temptation, isn't it? To go back to the things that we know how to do it. And you figure that out in all kinds of different ways. Figure it out in terms of your life right now. That you go back to the things that you've always done. The trouble is, life has changed. I mean, COVID has changed us, whether we like it or not. The loss of a rector has changed us, whether we like it or not. You didn't take a referendum on that. It was just part of the given. So it's tempting. And it's a good short-term thing. I mean, I've told many a widow, or particularly widow, who says, what am I going to do now? I say, well, just hang on for a while. Don't do anything different. Just get up in the morning and fix your breakfast and read the paper, watch the news, take care of the grandkids, whatever it is. Don't make significant changes. And let's see what unfolds for you. That's a good short-term strategy. It's just not good for the long haul. In the long haul, we're asked to really take advantage of the shift and figure out, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? And what is it that God is calling you to right now? That's Peter's first inclination. Not bad, but not altogether the best either. So Jesus then says to them on the boat, just try fishing now just on the other side. I don't think there's anything particularly significant whether it's the right side or the left side, to be honest with you. I do think that God often says, if it's not working for you and life has changed significantly, try something different. Try changing the formula just a little, maybe just a little bit, maybe a lot. But take a look at your life, what you've been given, and what your new circumstances are, because they're different. This is a different world. And figure out what that change needs to look like. I mean, that's true in the parish, isn't it? I mean, we are being invited, maybe even kicking and screaming and all that, and invited to say, something's new. We don't yet know what it is. I mean, that wonderful line, 1 John, has always spoken to me. It does not yet appear what we will be. But we know this. We will be like him. That we will put our trust and confidence not in the old, tried and true, the familiar, but we're going to get out and try fishing on the other side. Small changes can make a huge difference in your life. And I know that some of you are in that position right now. Whether you liked it, whether you planned for it or not. What is it now that God would be calling me to do? And it might be changing just some little aspect of our lives. And it might be entrusting that in a huge way to see what lies ahead. I want to invite you to consider that's what God is calling you to right now. to let go of the familiar, and then have confidence to step out in the future that God has in store for you. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. That's from 1 John, that's for sure. But we know it'll be okay. That's where I find myself these days too. If you find yourself in that boat, literally, I'm there wondering, let's see, what is it that I want to be when I grow up? And what might that look like if I dared to trust that God would be there with me? No matter how my journey sort of worked out, to have confidence to step out in faith. It's a crazy story. And it's a crazy story in the same way that the story of our lives are crazy. You wouldn't have designed it this way if you wanted to figure out what you were going to do. I look back on my life and I say, well, it's been an interesting ride. I don't think I would have done it that way if I were in charge. And in many instances, I was. And then stand back and see how God has come in and out of my life in really powerful ways, sometimes really scary ways. But try, if you're at that point, try putting the net on the other side of the boat. Try risking a significant or maybe just a tiny change in your life and entrusting all that to God's providence and to His care. What I want to be when I grow up, I don't really know. But I'm going to put my hand in His hand and do my best, honestly, to go where He leads with a sense of peace and confidence. I invite you to do the same. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please stand? On page 358, let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father of all Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God from the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being from the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through our prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Father, we pray for your whole Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
and that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest,
that life perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May they also come to share in the heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Father, we lift up David, Janine, Audrey, Justin, Johnny, Mark, Nancy, Jane, Jeanette, Bart, Tina, Kat, Harry, the family of Julie Tazo, the family of David Moja, the family of Sue Flynn.
Tiffany?
Are there others?
Ma'am?
Please join us in the prayer for transition found in your bulletin. O faithful God,
we ask you to guide us in our time of transition. We need your wisdom that we might be accepted, change, and conversion forever. We need your grace to redirect our hearts so we may be able to offer ourselves in joyful service. Do not allow fear, ignorance, or pride to limit the work of your Spirit. Amen.
So, Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers that we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, and that you would fulfill your will for us. And may we serve you in the fullness of our lives. So we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dear friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Okay, would you please be seated? A couple of things I'll call to your attention, and particularly call your attention to the announcements that are in